be interesting. But this guy's on Twitter. He's always a lot of fun to talk to him. We look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle, brought to us by Marvin Windows and Doors. Truett & White, the professional builder's choice. Bruce, hello. How are you today?
Doing well, Marty. How's it going?
Well, what a week. You know, we had Bobby Evans on earlier, and it sounds like the Giants were very much in the Hamels mix, and Phillies decide to go with the package from Texas. But he says they opened up the farm system, seven or eight that they could choose from, and it just didn't happen. But it sounds like they were very close.
Yeah, which I think is great. You know, once I heard that, I figured that Mike Leake was really going to be in play because they're obviously going for a starter. You know, they're not going to wait around and see what happens with the guys they got. They want to add a guy who might even be able to be their number two guy, and Leake could be that guy. But, you know, it's hard to know what kind of prospects the Phillies got in that deal. But you get the feeling, you know, Evans was putting most of his best guys out there.
You know, Jay Alvis was with us, and he said, boy, the thing about today and all these trades, look for a young left-handed pitching. Everybody wants that, the hard throwers, and maybe that's a key to the deal. You have to look at every deal. Toronto, I think, threw in a hard-throwing lefty, and Phillies, I think, got one as well, and maybe that's the key to them. The A's got one from Kansas City.
Yeah. And the Dodgers didn't want to give up their guy. Julio Urias is only 18 and is lighting it up in Double A, I think. Really good prospect. So yeah, that's a crafty guy is one thing, but Alex Wood, the guy the Dodgers got as a left-hander, maybe not lights out like the guys we're talking about, but you know, a good left-handed starter is just invaluable.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing I was talking to Jay about is, you know, in today's world, they just bring you up as soon as you show something. You know, really, and it's the face of baseball has changed. You don't make trades for major leaguers. You know, and there's back and forth. You get prospects, and as soon as that prospect shows something out of Double A, I'll see you in the big leagues.
Yeah, I kind of miss the old Harvey Keene for Rocky Colavito days, where you trade one superstar for another. You know, it's just so dramatic. But yeah, the prospects are the way to go now. You know, the teams that are kind of cashing in the season, they're looking for the future, and they're looking for guys who can help them down the line. So it does make a lot of sense.
Well, look at the Kevin Mitchell trade. I mean, that wasn't that long ago. You know, Kevin Mitchell comes here from San Diego, and the Giants win in 87. And, you know, they sent people down there. I don't know. You don't see those trades anymore, and it really is a minor league game now when it comes to the trade market. But do you like Leake? What do you think about Mike Leake?
Well, yeah, I like everything about him. He's a great competitor. I like his stuff. He's on a roll right now. He's pitching as well as he ever has. He's a great athlete. He's a good hitter. And you know me, I love pitchers who can hit, and the Giants are really at the front of all that. They've got, you know, besides Bumgarner, all their guys can do a little bit. I shouldn't say all of them, but they take pride in it, and they work on it. And Leake is maybe a better hitter than Bumgarner, and just a good athlete. And, you know, his dad was a Willie Mays fan. I really think they've got a great chance of signing him for next year. He knows the Bochy family, and he followed the Giants as a kid. And where else would you want to be? Why wouldn't you want to pitch for Bochy and Dave Rigetti in that park?
Yeah, you know, after now knowing a little more of the background, I think they probably do have a great chance to sign him. I really do, if he does something here down the stretch. What do you think of the club right now? Bumgarner last night, tonight it's a great matchup. Hamels, Johnny Vandermeer, watch out. He's coming, you know, he's coming off a no-hitter. Heston, a no-hit pitcher. Boy, you never know where a season's going to go, what the stories are going to be. This one's become very interesting.
I like the team a lot. I mean, the first game after they get Mike Leake, you figure Bumgarner's going to win that game. He didn't do it. He pitched great after the rough start. I've liked the club really all year. I like them more now that they have Leake. I hope Panic holds up physically. He had a little back thing, and he took a ridiculously rude slide from Odor that could have been really bad. And then when he tried to break up the double play, later on he looked like he tweaked something in his leg. So,
yeah.
You know, he's a guy who really plays the game right, plays it hard, is not afraid to get clocked out there, and does quite often because second baseman will do that. But, you know, assuming that the team stays healthy, I think the way things have shaken down now, depending on what happens on the waiver wire, but I still think the Giants have a bit of an edge on the Dodgers. I've not that blown away by Latos and Alex Wood.
No, and I've said it before, you know, it's a team. And the Giants, you know, Leak is terrific. He's going to get 12 starts. It's wonderful. But the Giants will go where the team takes them. And that's the kind of ball club they are. The Dodgers are a little interesting. They're going to go where Kershaw and Greinke take them, because if they don't take them, they're not going anywhere. And they just seem to somehow string those hits together. And Latos and Wood allows them to get rid of Bolsinger and, you know, free us and people like that. But that bullpen is still a work in progress. I think it's a heck of a race. I really do.
Yeah, I think it's going to go right down to the wire. Certainly neither one of them is going to run away with it, because every time the Dodgers have a little rough spell, here comes Kershaw and Greinke, and that's all over.
Yeah.
You know, and the Giants, you know, their lineup is just, it's so interesting, you know, just the way, you know, the way they move the line, as Bochy says, just, you know, it's smart hitting. That's such a good formula, and it works so often. And you can't do it every night. Nobody can, but I don't think they have a major weakness. I really don't.
Boy, all right. It's going to be a good race. Bruce, on Wednesday night, you were nice enough to come on with me when I sat in for Ray Woodson, talking a little bit about your experience on Tuesday. And I know you wrote about it. It was a great story. But for the audience we have today, of course, it's a much broader appeal. Many more people listening today than in the evening. Go over your experience in San Rafael the other night with Eric Burns and the Pitch FX making the calls on balls and strikes, and how you accepted or rejected.
Well, I went up there just, you know, full of scorn, really. Just the idea of the home plate umpire not calling balls and strikes. I just, you know, as sort of a traditional thinker, my initial thought about it was, you know, this is ridiculous. It'll never happen. Why are they even trying it? But as I watched it unfold, it's funny, it didn't bother me at all. It really didn't. I mean, they had a little bit of a gimmick going to it, because the pitch would come onto the screen, and there's a strike zone box, and it would show up, and then Eric Burns would go, like an umpire, or ball one, or he'd actually tell the hitter, that's a foot outside, Daryl. You don't want to, just let that one go. You know, just having fun. It's a minor league setting and everything.
Right.
But I just sitting next to Burns and watching the thing come onto the screen, than having it be black and white, whether it's a strike or not, you know, it didn't bother me that much. The home plate umpire is still there. He's still doing a lot of stuff besides, you know, whisking off the home plate, whisking off the dust. You know, there's fair or foul plays at the plate. He's kind of the man in charge just in general. But, you know, I'll tell you what I wouldn't miss is so many guys take issue with a ball or strike, and next thing you know, they're thrown out of the game. I mean, for God's sake, you know, just move on here. With this thing, there's no doubt. Now, I'm not saying I'm supporting it, because it's a very radical step, but it does make the strike zone consistent, and that's a big part of it. I mean, that's what everybody wants. Hitters and pitchers want to know, want to have consistency from an umpire. I had one guy write in and says, I don't think Greg Maddux would make the Hall of Fame if this happened, because he got so much on the, you know, on the outside corners, and maybe technically wasn't a strike. I think Maddux would have made the Hall of Fame no matter what the rules were. But another point that was brought up to me was that, you know, you watch the great catchers, and they're great framers. They're fantastic at framing a pitch, maybe bringing it in a little bit off the edge of the plate and into the zone, or at least enough to have it called a strike. And it's a real part of the art of catching. And that would pretty much disappear here, because the ball pops in, and there it is. You know, it's where it crosses the plate is when the thing, the three cameras triangulate and give you the result. So that would take away a pretty interesting element of the game. So I'm just saying that it didn't really bother me. I just think it's worth the conversation.
Yeah.
I don't think it's anything just to be dismissed out of hand.
All right. So, of course, Bruce is with us, Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. So when the pitch would come over the plate and the FX would tell you if ball or strike, would Burns yell it out immediately like an umpire would?
Yeah. Like I say, he'd go, you know, for a strike.
Just right away.
Or just say ball. And, you know, there's obviously not going to be a guy on a microphone telling everybody what it is. I mean, it'll come to the umpire some electronic digital way.
Okay.
The umpire will know instantly, and it'll also pop up on the scoreboard like that. And they're even talking about having monitors that fans can see, so there's no mystery to them. And it's instantaneous.
Good.
And it's ready to go. This is the kind of graphics they've had, you know, the MLB on television. It's the same system the umpires are using to grade themselves. And it's not a work. The technology is not a work in progress. It's ready to go. It's state of the art, and it's instantaneous.
Wow. All right. Look, I'm the next step is the Arizona Fall League. You know.
That's exactly. And then single A, and maybe get it up to triple A,
and exhibition games, and then I'll be down there. I mean, I wonder if they would even get it going this winter. But that'll be the next step. But great. Yeah, look, it's a great. You gave a great review of it. You really did. I think for, like a ball 4-3-2 and the runner's running, is it a strike? Is he, ball 4? And maybe that, the instantaneous ability is something that I'd like to see so you don't lose a flow of a play. That would be one of the things I'd be interested in. But great. I respect your opinion. And I know the fans do too, so I'm glad you brought it up the other day. And great columns. If you missed it, I think it was a Wednesday column, I think.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, last Tuesday for Wednesday.
Yeah, very good. Madison Bumgarner last night got into it with a couple of the players. And, boy, let me tell you, Dave Fleming, he finally had to say, that's enough, good night, I'm going to sleep, last night.
Because he was disgusted by it? Or?
Well, no, he was sort of defending Bumgarner, and some guy wrote some article somewhere that somehow got, this is the story of the Internet, went viral. Accusing Bumgarner of all sorts of things, and Dave defended him, and then they went back and forth. And finally, after about an hour and a half, Dave said, good night, I'm going to sleep.
Yeah. So,
what was your take on it? It is Bumgarner. We know who he is. And Jay Alvis gave a little take on it as well. What's your take?
Well, I mean, you got to take Bumgarner for the whole package of what he is. His just almost insane competitive streak makes him what he is, and he's a real old school thinker. He's completely stoic out there. He never shows any emotion whatsoever. Even when they closed out the World Series, he looked pretty stoic. I mean, and he doesn't like a lot of animated activity by the hitter. For a guy to pop up and all of a sudden you've almost have a fight, that's too much for me. When everybody starts spilling out of the dugouts over a guy upset that he popped it up, That's just too much. I can see Bumgarner going, just calm down, dude, or if a guy hits a home run, really my deep down opinion is that I don't mind any bat flips. I don't mind Yasiel Puig. I don't mind Odor. I don't mind a guy flipping a bat when he's stoked about hitting a homer. I don't mind a guy showing his frustration when he pops up on a pitch that he should have hit. Now, it's going to offend the pitcher, and I get that. But when it all of a sudden the relievers are sprinting out of the bullpen, no, not for me.
All right. It's just part of the game. I think of Bob Gibson, and someone said, 1987 wasn't that long ago for the Kevin Mitchell trade. I guess is it that long ago, Bruce? It seems like it was yesterday.
It was day before yesterday, I think.
Yeah, but all right. My point on the trades, though, maybe the last 10 years we used to see some major leaguers traded back and forth, but now – pretty much all the minor leaguers. But tonight, I love the game tonight. Honestly, the two no-hit pitchers going at it tonight. What do you think of that?
Oh, yeah, it's terrific. I mean, with Hamels, it's going to be very interesting to see, how he fares in that park. You're not going to be able to get any permanent read on him. But, that team's loading up for next year with Darvish and Hamels. And it looks like Josh Hamilton's kind of back. And that all is going to be very interesting. Heston, I don't worry about Heston. I don't worry about Bumgarner either for totally different reasons. But Heston is just so composed out there. He's got such movement on his ball. I just think he's in that rotation to stay. And it's a classic matchup. It's the classic righty-lefty matchup. And I have a lot of good hitters going. So yet another good night at the park.
Yeah, Hamels, all the home runs he gives up are to righties. None to a lefty. Lefty's 194 against him. And here he is coming off a no-hitter, almost a Giant. He was almost a Giant. He waved his no-trade to the Giants.
And I was just going to say, I'm going to make a prediction. I think Crawford takes him deep tonight.
Okay, all right.
The lefty will get him.
My question for the audience, again, in our original Joe's dinner pool, what would be the combined hits of Heston and Hamels? What would they give up tonight?
I'm going to say around 11.
All right, well, that's 6-5, 7-4. All right.
Johnny Vandermeer will be safe. Let's put it that way.
What inning does he does he have a sigh of relief?
I think Crawford's going to get two hits. He's going to get the first Giants hit, He's going to go deep later. He'll get the first hit whenever he's up with the third or whatever. for Heston, I think he'll take it into the fifth because they haven't seen him, and it could be a little bit of a mystery to him for a while.
Well, this is not, this is more of a real American League game. This is one where, you know, all the hitters are hitting. You got a good hitting lineup. This one, you got to play some baseball tonight. You got to be very careful. This is not the Angels or the A's, you know, teams that didn't hit very much. Seattle. These guys actually can put the bat on the ball. So I think it's going to be a good game. One last thought for you. The beauty of this game, Wilmer Flores. I mean, really, Bruce, can you ask for anything?
God.
Can you script it? Can you write it? If they did it in Hollywood, they'd throw you out.
I was at next door to a neighbor's house, and they had the game on in the background, and I saw this commotion. And when I realized it was Flores, I go, you got to be kidding. I just stopped the party. You got to see what happened here. It's a huge game. It's Mets-Nationals. You know, after the trading deadline, this kid was in tears. Everybody knows the story. He hits the home run to win the game in a walk-off. I mean, it might be the best single episode of the whole season so far.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it, and I saw it unfold. We were watching it on TV last night. It was on, I think, MLB or something when I was here last night. Yeah, Wilmer Flores, walk-off home run, and a big game.
Oh, yeah. And it's so great because, I mean, you know, years ago, if this happened, first of all, you wouldn't know that he was crying. Maybe you read it in the New York Times or something. But, you know, we see everything now. We saw the tears. We saw a close-up of the kid's face. We saw the redness in his eyes, you know. So we feel like we know the guy now.
Yeah.
And the next thing, now he hits the home run, and everybody, it's an unbelievable story.
He was nobody. Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I said, well, maybe it was his third home run of the year. It was his 11th. You know, but now you're going to follow Wilmer Flores, isn't that?
And you're going to follow the Mets. What did Flores do?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
DeGrom, fantastic.
DeGrom and Joe Ross tonight.
There's a lot of reasons to follow the Mets. I mean, that whole series is really, really interesting.
Yeah, it's good. Good baseball. August is good baseball. You got to make your move now. As I say, you can't wait till September. Thanks, Bruce. Have a good night. What are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm going to change it around and watch a little sports. It's going to be this really never stops, you know, and I try to keep track of the other sports as well, and thank God my great wife, Martha.
I was going to say, Martha must be very patient, Bruce.
The only person who wants to watch the Giants more than I do is Martha, and she needs to watch them live. Forget this DVR stuff. You can catch up on your other stuff later. We're watching the Giants live. We're popping beers, and by God, that's the best of all worlds.
Very good. Hey, pleasure. All right, talk to you tomorrow morning.
All right. Talk to you then.
That's Bruce. All right, Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. More coming up. The Sports Leader.